This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Believe in Vikings. I am your host, Dustin Baker. We are wrapping up May, less than a week before mandatory minicamp. We'll be on Jefferson Watch to figure out if that man shows up. We're going to talk about Jefferson tonight in addition to Dalton Reisner. I'm here with Brian McKinney, Ron Saw, and Brevin Bain from Vikes Now. We're going to chat all about all the Vikings' current topics, maybe about what extra free agents could be on the way after Dalton Reisner reunited with the Vikings on Wednesday morning. So yeah, it is a pre-mandatory minicamp chat about these Vikings. BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, NHL playoffs. That site has all the stats, all the latest news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about every sport out there, they've got it. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on all the action. Bet online, where the game starts. We are here to talk Vikings football. We have less than a week from mandatory minicamp. That's when some stuff will start to kind of kick up. We'll wait to see if Justin Jefferson shows up. There might be an honest-to-goodness holdout if he does not. We're going to jump into all of that, but the news of the day was Dalton Reisner is back, and I wouldn't say it was totally unexpected, but the Vikings had 4 months to get this deal done. And finally, they did. I'm going to start with you, Ron. We didn't talk to you last show. It's been about a month since we corresponded with you. The Reisner move, what do you make of it? And do you think he is a lock to start at left guard?
Well, I love it. I mean, there's probably going to be competition with him and Brandel, but I think he has the inside track. I know Brian's alluded to it in the past. The continuity on the offensive line is huge, so you're getting that starting left guard back. And, you know, worst case, then Brandel becomes that swing offensive lineman if anyone goes down. So, in my opinion, you can never have too much depth on that. And I thought Reisner did a fantastic job, you know, when he came in. And he's been, at least an above average starter throughout his career. So it doesn't hurt to have him back. It sounds like he wants to be back. And, you know, I think it's, again, continuity on the offensive line, I think, is going to be huge.
Brent, can you talk to us about that? You've talked to us about it in the past, but for any new listeners or viewers, what is it about offensive continuity that's offensive line continuity that's the special sauce?
Just the communication, and then it becomes to a certain point where there's the lack of communication because you're very familiar with the guy next to you and how they operate, which makes everything a lot better. You don't have to kind of peek over to check on them. So, and it makes your comfort level a little better too, because you know how to play, you know how to say, you know how to do certain things. Once you have chemistry with the guy next to you and you've been playing together for a while. So that helps out a lot, and it helps your comfort level out as well.
Out of the five, can one new guy throw it off a lot, or does it take like multiple new guys?
It would take multiple because, like, if you had me and Hutch on one side, like, so whatever happened on the right-hand side, I would not even know. You know what I'm saying? but the person next to you is the real, like, key factor. So whoever's right next to you, that's who you want to be comfortable with.
Okay. And then we haven't heard this speech or story in a while. Are OTAs fun, getting back in the swing of things?
I think they are to a certain degree, just because you've been away for, you know, a while because of the offseason. So, mm-hmm. like, if you're somebody like myself who, like, really takes a break, so when you get back in, you're kind of excited to get back in and get back into, like, the rhythm. And that's the time you really get in, you're, like, your footwork down, your timing down, your rhythm and everything. So it's not bad, and it's like it's not long. OTAs aren't long. When you have the mini camps, those can be like the longer days, but OTAs aren't that long at all.
Okay. Brevin, I'm going to go back to you and the Dalton Reisner topic, because I think A lot of us thought if this happened, it would be in the summer once they determined Brandel wasn't any good, like as an example. But now, even though they've sang the high praises of Brandel, bada bing, we're back with Risner. How do you feel about it? And do you think it's an automatic that he will start at LG?
I don't think it's automatic at all. And everything you guys kind of said summarizes the point. I mean, to me, it's all about competition. Honestly, if Risner re-signed or didn't re-sign, of course you want the continuity, but either way, with whatever the deal was going to be with him, I was kind of whatever. So I'm never going to be, especially after the interior offensive line woes of the last couple of years, I'm not going to be mad at certainly a competition at left guard.
One thing that's kind of cool about it, I think, is a little unsung is we went from being kind of panicked about, hey, is Blake Brandel any good? To now with Risner in, not that they're deep as hell, but they have some depth. And it's like you can basically cross the roster weakness, cross left guard off that list. There's still a handful of them on this roster, but it's refreshing that now there are options, whereas we would have went into July and August hoping that the coaching staff was right about Brandel. Well, Brevin, because we stepped on your Dalton Risner takes, I'm going to give you first dibs at this Jefferson question. We don't need to discuss or debate the merits of whether or not Jefferson will be re-signed, because I think we believe the team's leadership that that's a no-brainer. But I want an ETA from you, Brevin. Do you think this thing bleeds into late summer?
I could certainly see it happening. For my ability to sleep at night, I'd love it to happen now, and I'm sure everybody would love to happen now. Kind of saying the sky is blue there, but if I had to guess, it kind of feels like the receivers from that draft class, specifically JJ and CeeDee Lamb, are kind of waiting on each other. I think what I see some Vikings fans saying, like, yes, Justin Jefferson is probably the best wide receiver in the world. His contract and CeeDee Lamb's contracts are going to be pretty similar. It's not like Jefferson's going to be making a ton more money per year. So it kind of feels like their agents or them specifically are just kind of playing the waiting game. I think it'll get announced this offseason. I really hope it does. It's going to be even bigger of a distraction now than it is now during the season if that dotted line still isn't signed by that time. So I would say sometime deeper into the summer for sure, maybe right before the season starts in August.
There was a ESPN, let's see, Dan Graziano. He was on, I think, SportsCenter or First Take last week and pointed out that Jefferson and Joe Burrow share the same agent. And when Joe Burrow's contract was up, that son of a bitch, the contract, not Joe Burrow, went late into the summer. And that might be the way that this agent does business. And if they're in a standoff between CeeDee Lamb and Jefferson, waiting for one to get $33 million so the other guy can get $34 million, then perhaps there is a timetable that runs into the summer. Ron, is that how you see that, that it's going to be right before the regular season type of thing?
I mean, yeah, I think it ultimately will get done. I don't think there's any cause for concern on the Jefferson side of things. I think he knows his value. I think the team has reiterated how they value him as, you know, being one of the, you know, top non-quarterback, you know, being paid like that, and I think they ultimately will. But yeah, to Brevin's point, I think it's very much that waiting game of CeeDee Lamb versus Justin Jefferson, because even Nico Collins just signed a $75 million deal, and that's really after just 1 year of equity. So, and mm-hmm. I think it's like what averages $25 million a year. So, I think from the Viking standpoint, they would have been smart to do this last offseason to give him the money then. And the longer they wait, the more it benefits Jefferson. So I don't see why he has any reason to not wait it out as long as he can. He will get paid. I think it will be by the Vikings. I think it's just a matter of time. And it's ultimately, in the end, I think it's going to cost the Vikings more. But I don't think there's any Vikings fan on the planet that is going to scoff at a number that gets thrown out. If it's $40 million, it's $40 million. Like, salary cap's always going to be going up, so that's not a concern, and they have ways around wording it to make it where it's not such a large cap hit. But the way that they're flexible on the books going forward, if Jefferson's your biggest cap hit, you know, over the next few years, I think you can live with that.
Bryant, let me ask you, let's see, if I recall correctly, your second contract came around 2006, 2007. What role does a player, and that, your deal I think was for a long, like 7 years or something like that, if I remember it right. What role does a player have? Does the agent do everything? How often is he consulting you, or was yours pretty open and shut? Do you recall?
They did mine like a little bit. They did mine before the season ended. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of negotiating with my agent, and then my agent kind of had a number in his mind where he wanted it, where he felt like it was comfortable or good, and he just kept me kind of in tune. I was in season when it happened, so it wasn't like an off-season thing, so okay. I was there, you know. And he came with they came up with a number that we agreed on.
Okay, and that was, what was that, like 2006 or so, 2007?
I want to say, like, I was in the middle of, like, 2007, maybe.
Okay, and so is he, like, how much input would you say you, the player, have?
I might have been in the middle of 2006.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you either agree or you don't with it, but I mean, I'll just listen to the advice of my agent. So just whatever he said, I kind of like went along with it.
Okay. All right. So, well, we got Jefferson's ETA. I think we are prepared emotionally for it to be late in the summer. And let's face it, that's when historically, whether it's the Vikings under a Kwesi Mensa and Hockenson last year, or even the Spielman days, usually these things go right up to like early September, to the butt of week one. Dalvin Cooks in 2020, I think, was like the day before the regular season started. And not for nothing, last year, allegedly, the Vikings were this close to having Jefferson's deal done right before week one. I think it was like the Friday or Saturday before. So I guess put that in your memory bank.
And then what happened?
I don't know what it snagged on. All I know is that when we got to this offseason, Kwesi Mensa talked. He said they were incredibly close last time. And I think they restructured somebody's contract, like Brian O'Neill or somebody. And then it just went on the back burner again. And they basically said they're going to continue. They're in a happy, amicable spot, but they're going to do negotiations later. And that's been like these last 4 months now. And it's going to be a ginormous contract. So it must just be that intricate or that complicated on the whole.
Okay.
Yep. All right, Ron, let's see. What else? I got a little list here. All right. So with Reisner in the house, we think it's for a year. It's going to have some incentives in it. Who else could be on the way or should be on the way? Because after they sign a draft class, the Vikings should have some playing around coin to the tune of 10 or 12 million or so.
Well, I'm pretty sure I emphasize this every year, but I would love for them to add some depth on the defensive line or the front. I don't know what nose tackles, three techniques are available, but that's the one spot that I look at that is a little worrisome. I was a big fan of Jerry Tillery when he got drafted, coming out of Notre Dame. I thought that he would be better than he has been. But now this will be his third team in, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. So maybe they can tap into something there, but they also tried that with Ross Blacklock, who I also liked, coming out of college, out of TCU, I believe. And, that obviously didn't work, but between I think Bullard's still on the roster, and Harrison Phillips, who I know he's strong, but he's not to me a prototypical nose tackle. But I just think to get some beefy guys up front that can help the linebackers, do their job. That would be my wish list. Otherwise, looking at everything else, we have depth at linebackers. We have depth at corner. How good it's going to be, we don't know, but at least we have some bodies who have played and started. And, I'm a big Kyrie Jackson fan. He was a guy that, that leading up to the draft that, I was thinking that at 108 or something that we can snag him, but, we were able to get him later. So, and you know me, it's the tall cornerbacks that can run. I'm all for. You still got to throw over that. So, but yeah, really just defensive front would be my A topic. And again, I don't know who's out there, but that would be nice to be able to address.
Well, at the spot you're referring to be the three tech, unless they wanted like depth at nose tackle, like Linval Joseph again or something. But the only one left, and we've talked about this a couple times, is Calais Campbell, and he's 37. So, Brian, we talked about this. You're friends with Calais, aren't you?
Yes.
Is he coming back somewhere?
If somebody picks him up, I'm pretty sure he'll come back.
Okay.
He's likely to want to go play for like a contender, right? Like,
you know, at this point, yeah, all these years, you're definitely trying.
Why did he play for the Falcons last year then?
I don't know.
Can you text him? I'm just kidding. No, it would be down to Calais Campbell. I mean, it's a little maddening. They had, I swear to God, like 10 options during free agency on the scale, all the way up to Wilkins, all the way to cheap as Maurice Hurst, who stayed with the Browns, who was a decent player. So the ship has sailed, unless Calais Campbell wants to run with Bryant's former team for a year or two. The cool thing about Calais, I say this in every podcast that he comes up, he never regresses. He's always that good. And
you can't teach size. 6'8", 300 pounds. You can't teach it. Bryant, you know better than anybody about that.
Right.
And he came from the draft right after Adrian Peterson. That's how long this guy's been in the league. So
I wanted that year until we traded for Jared Allen.
If it's going to be free agency, the only one that would make us go, whoa, sweet, is Calais Campbell. Otherwise, they'd have to explore a trade. And as we know somewhat well, the Vikings don't have a whole lot of trade assets in the draft capital piggy bank because they unloaded them for Dallas Turner. So it feels like they like what they have, whether somebody young emerges like Jaquelin Roy or Levi Drake Rodriguez. It feels like we're having another year where it's defensive tackle kind of poverty, and then we'll be hoping next offseason that they finally realize that they can actually upgrade.
The beauty is, at least with the Brian Flores defense, like there's so many interchangeable pieces that I don't think you're going to necessarily see prototypical three techniques, you know, up front. You may see a mm-hmm. combination of Van Ginkle, Dallas Turner, like guys who are going to be able to rush the passer and kind of bring those exotic blitzes. But I'm just thinking more in base packages against the run. I know we, you know, overall did okay against the run last year, but it seems like we don't get that push up front or that interior pass rush that would be, you know, I mean, you're not going to find Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, you know, off the streets, but having a little versatility there would be nice.
Yeah, I'm convinced that after they realized Christian Wilkins was too expensive, that Flores said something of the effect like, all right, well, then get me two edge rushers and then draft my guy. And they were like, fine, we'll do it. That's like my own personal thing as to why there was such a strikeout on defensive tackle. Brevin, let's get to you. Who could or who should these Vikings sign with the remainder of their salary cap space?
All right, I think you've got to, and we mentioned it on Vikes now too, I think you got to add somebody to the receiver room. You can have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, all you want. You still need a wide receiver three, and I guess TJ Hawkinson kind of plays that de facto role. No slight to Brandon Powell, who was great in spots, except for when he was performing tush pushes with your playoff life on the line in Cincinnati. But like a guy like Hunter Renfro, just throw him and keep him in the slot. I wrote an article on Purple PTSD about how he would be a fit. He's had two down years the last 2 years battling injuries and being taken hostage by Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas. But I think Renfro would be a great fit. Even slant boy Michael Thomas, I wouldn't hate that for cheap, even though I spent a good 2 or 3 years slandering him on Twitter while I was sitting on my couch licking Cheeto dust off my fingers. But I don't know, somebody like Renfro, Michael Thomas, I don't know if Mecole Hardman would be a great fit for receiver three, but I don't know, I think you got to add somebody to at least compete with Brandon Powell for receiver three. And of course, that's barring maybe the Vikings know something we don't, and Jalen Naylor is finally going to compete for that spot, or there's somebody lower on the roster is making it apparent that they're going to make a push for it. I would like to see a veteran kind of, I guess, reliable, for lack of a better word, receiver fill out receiver three.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
We'll say don't sleep on Trent Sherfield. I think he's going to be someone that surprises people. Like his time in Buffalo, this is a lofty comparison, but like a poor man's Anquan Boldin, like in the sense that he does everything. He's physical. He's a good run blocker. I think he is gonna surprise some people.
Wouldn't upset me. Go ahead.
I was saying it wouldn't upset me. I hope he does.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm beginning to think. Well, I also thought this about Risner. Like, they would have signed him by now. And that was my argument for the last couple of weeks. So I won't say that they're not going to sign a WR3 because that was my argument. Like, well, what are they waiting for? Like, there was like seven dudes that went off the board in the last month, from OBJ to MVS, Tyler Boyd. All those guys got signed, you know, kind of in the fallout of the draft in these last 5-6 weeks. But yeah, Hunter Renfro, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones. There's a couple more out there. Russell Gage, Jamal Agnew. Those are all WR3s that are available. It's just that Vikings have so many wide receivers. They have like 13, I think, that there's going to be somebody that probably emerges. We're just not used to, after we've had two decent years, or is it three decent years from KJ Osborne, we're like, all right, well, let's at least get somebody as good as him. But we're kind of back to that maybe territory of hoping that somebody emerges. All right, Ron, we didn't get to talk to you about the schedule release. So I'm going to ask the gang for the game that they're kind of circling or most looking forward to. But on the whole, if you recall some of your schedule reactions from a couple weeks ago.
You know, to be honest, that there wasn't a whole lot of reaction. I know, mm-hmm. I think the one positive that I recall is, you know, no cold weather games again. So I think that's helpful. I think travel's relatively, you know, minus the London trip is, you know, pretty middle of the road. So it's not like we're going East Coast, West Coast, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Like, we always know what our opponents are going to be with the, you know, the third place schedule and all of that. So there weren't really any surprises. But yeah, I guess the lack of primetime games is still I can't recall how many we actually have, but okay, two. So it's always, because Vikings have a really good fan base, and they're always like, whether it is the Packers or now even you'd think the Lions, like something like that may draw a little more, even with the Thursday night games or whatnot. But that I think is a little odd because, again, our market is usually very marketable when it comes to the NFL. So, but otherwise, there aren't any, you know, glaring surprises or anything like that. I think, you know, it's hard to also look at it and predict how we're going to be, because who knows if McCarthy, you know, takes the job early, or if Darnold, you know, actually looks competent for the first time in his career, like the games will be a lot different. But as of now, it's more like, all right, we're excited to get it back, but you know, I guess we won't know what we have until training camp rolls around.
Which game are you most looking forward to?
I mean, honestly, like, weirdly enough, it's the Falcons. Just because, like, I want to see if there's a positive reaction to Kirk coming back, mm-hmm. or like, because the way the fan base has kind of been on him, like, it's almost like with the Timberwolves now, like with Cat, like people are just so like, they want to hate on him, but they don't realize like his talent level or, you know, what he's actually capable of doing, who happens to go through struggles at times. So, I would hope that he gets a positive reaction, even from the quote unquote haters. I don't think there's truly any people that dislike Kirk. I think it's the combination contract, age, you know, production, that type of stuff, which mm-hmm. totally valid. So I don't think anyone on that side will show animosity and boo him. But if you get those people that are like, you know, the Keeniacs, who hated Kirk because they wanted Case Keenum, who's been on 18 teams since the Vikings, so they just never find it in their heart to realize what we had there. So hopefully by then McCarthy's under center and looking promising. And then, you know, we can kind of have the best of both worlds on that, you know, tier the guy who, you know, kept us relevant for all those years. And then also introducing the new guy, but also like aside from the Kirk side, that Falcons offense, I think is going to be fun to watch with no Arthur Smith. And just with the weapons that they have, you know, Bijan Robinson's a beast. Kyle Pitts, when he's not blocking, is a beast. So it'll be fun to watch how that team progresses.
Yeah, I think Cousins, for like fantasy football purposes, is somebody that you can draft late. And then if you want to take a flyer on Jaden Daniels and hope for the best as a rookie, you can probably get away with it, because if he's healthy, which he usually is, he's probably going to throw us 30 touchdowns and 4,200 yards. And bada bing, you've got yourself a decent fantasy quarterback. Brian, to you, we talked about the schedule last week, but either tell me which game you're most looking forward to or which game you plan to try to attend.
I wrote this down the other week. I thought we moved past it. I don't remember who I said. I said it last week, though.
When was it? What month?
It might have been like in like the third, somewhere like in the third group of games. When we went over the game, we had broke them down to like four different groups.
Oh, okay.
So that'd been like November, December sometime, maybe.
So that would have to be the Colts on November 3rd. Or the Cardinals on December 1st, Falcons that Ron just spoke of, or Bears Monday Night Football.
I think I did ask about the Falcons game for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like just the timing.
Yeah, that's the one that Ron just lifted up, because it'll be Cousins versus whoever the Vikings quarterback is.
Right.
So we could put you in that column. That's the one you're looking forward to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at the risk of just being trendy, and I think that's Brevin's too, is...
But just know that he's going to come here and he's going to try to have, like, the best game of his life.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's kind of what we have to deal with by saying goodbye. But by that time, we're either going to know that whichever quarterback the Vikings are rolling with, we're either going to know that guy can play, or it'll probably be the J.J. McCarthy era that late in the season. So, when I realized that Cousins on the Falcons would play the Vikings at US Bank Stadium, I was always happy about it, because the onus is on them to win. The Vikings aren't these big contenders this year, and the Falcons spending that much money on a quarterback kind of have to be. And, you know, it's Cousins versus old team, his old building on a team that thinks they can win the division. So I've kind of just thought, hey, this is house money. The Falcons got to win it. That's the onus is on them on this team.
Right.
Brevin, the Falcons or another game? Or what's something else on the schedule that you are excited for?
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons is the obvious one. Kirk coming back to Minnesota. It's right in that window of where, because if the Vikings are going to make the playoffs, it's going to be by sneaking into a wild card spot this year, you would think. So that's going to be right where you can't really afford to lose games. It's a in-conference game. I think Atlanta might be in that situation too. Like the NFC South is bad, to be put it nicely. But I think the Falcons still might take a year to get going fully. And Ron was completely right about that offense is going to be really fun to watch. I just don't know if Atlanta this year is going to mesh right off the rip. But yeah, if I'm looking away from the Falcons, I live on the East Coast, so London games aren't a complete headache. I think it's 9:30 a.m. here. 9:30 in the morning. So I'm cool with getting up early in the morning. Aaron Rodgers revenge game. I've mentioned before, I wish that game was in Minnesota. Have Aaron come back to the bank. That feels like a slight missed opportunity. They couldn't have just had us play the godforsaken Colts in London. It had to be Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. But that would be an easy one. Wake up early, watch that game. And then the beauty of that is right as that game's ending, the rest of the slate for the day is starting, and I've got stress-free football. I can just watch Red Zone or something. So little things that make you happy.
Well, you got to hope that they win or don't lose heartbreakingly, because otherwise the rest of the day is shitty.
When they played the Saints and that the ending of that game, that day was awesome. I love that day.
Yeah, that was a pressure cooker. All right, the last thing I have real quick, Ron, I will be in Norway for the next 2 Wednesdays. So by the time I talk to you guys again, it'll be June 19th. So I want to know from you, what new Vikings thing will be learned within the next 3 weeks? From OTAs, a contract extension, a new player, putting you on the spot.
Well, I mean, you know, like the easy answer is contract extension. Cause I think that's the one that everyone is kind of holding their breath waiting for. But I think for me, I'm going to go out on the limb and just say like the later round rookies. So like from Kyrie Jackson on all the way to, you know, the Levi, like to see how those guys are integrating themselves and if they're going to be able to, even, you know, Grayson Murphy. I never remember which one we have. Do we have Grayson or Gabriel?
We have Gabriel. Grayson.
Okay. Oh, we have Gabriel. Okay.
Yep.
So like between, yeah, him and just, I think that's going to be the biggest, because I do think Kwesi has a little bit of that hot seat in the sense of, well, one, he has to hit on JJ. If he doesn't hit on McCarthy, then his job's toast anyways. But, you know, he was able to, you know, get Ivan Pace last year. And otherwise, outside of that, he's had Jordan Addison has been his only good draft pick. So I want to see how those later round guys that kind of came in to fill holes where there is an opportunity to play, even like a Walter Roos, you know, what his ability brings to the table. Like, through, you know, I'll seen the video of him talking about how it's an A+ draft if they get the kicker and they get Roos. Like, well, what is it that you're seeing in these guys? Because you said the same thing about a Caleb Evans, and a Caleb Evans has been, you know, Cam Dantzler 2.0 in a lot of ways. So so let's see where his let's see where his merit comes to play with those players, and you know, see if he can buy some time in that regard.
Revan, you got one that within the next 3 weeks, by the time this group chats again, we'll know this about this player, we'll know this about OTAs, or so-and-so is back on the team.
Other than by that time, the Minnesota Timberwolves being NBA Finals champions, with the Vikings, I will say that kicker John Parker Roma will be released.
Oh, really? Okay.
Prediction, I guess. I don't know. I guess Reichert is – I don't know how much I see the kickers right now, but I it's – just get it over with. We know what's going to happen. Just, like, just get it out of the way. It's like pulling scotch tape off your kneecap. It doesn't hurt, but you got to get it off. I don't know. Just do it.
I will clarify the record. When we talk again, the Timberwolves will be heading into game 6 of the NBA Finals. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they'll sweep.
Nice recovery. Yeah. Brian, what about you? What do you got going on the next couple of weeks personally? Any fun travels?
I go to Atlanta on Sunday, and I return it back. And I don't think so.
No? All right. Cool, cool, cool. Well, guys, that's all I got for the topics this week. Like I said before, I will be in Norway for the next 2 Wednesdays. It's an 11-12 day trip with my family. But we will talk to you guys on June 19th with a lot of OTAs in the rear view, okay?
Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining, Brevin.
All right.
You guys take it easy.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.